Good morning. I invite you to open your Bibles with us to the Proverbs chapter 14. We'll get there in just a second. I'd like to congratulate all the men under the sound of my voice for the excellent job that you're doing as men, especially those of you who are working so diligently, so hard to be those godly men that your family needs you to be. I want to express my appreciation to you and wish you the very best Father's Day. But you know, even those of us who are working so hard to be what we ought to be, I guarantee you, if I went to you individually and asked you, are you perfect? There's not a one of you who would say, oh no, I need to be a lot better than I am. I've been reading through the Proverbs. Such great encouragement. You know, the Proverbs are not so much doctrine. They're not doctrine. They're still truth. They're not so much doctrine as they are just common sense truths. And it's easy to just get to reading through those and if you're like me, fail to stop and really contemplate exactly what's being said. Here on a Father's Day, I mean, if you just look at men, we're messes. We are messes. But we're good messes. And I'd like to say to you women, we're worth the mess. Look at this proverb. This is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 4. Now, this is the New International Version. I'm going to give you the English Standard Version in a minute, and then I'm going to read to you from the King James Version. This is the New International Version. Where no oxen are, the trough, y'all know what a trough is? Kind of feed from, you know. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. I mean, it's just common sense. It's just common sense truth. If the trough is clean, it must mean the man has no oxen. If the man has no oxen, think what he's missing. I mean, much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Especially in the day and time when these proverbs were penned, oxen were extremely important. I mean, an oxen was used to plow the fields, to get the fields ready to plant. The oxen were used as the fields were being planted. Then the oxen were used to till the ground, to till the crops that had been planted. Then those oxen would be used again to harvest those crops that had been planted. And then the oxen were used again to put those harvests into a place where they could be managed and maintained to carry out till the next planting season and the next harvest season. But if a man's got a clean trough, that must mean he has no oxen. The English Standard Version reads like this: where no oxen are, the crib is clean. The crib's clean. Man, we got a good looking crib. Look how clean it is. Oh yeah. But that must be an indication there are no oxen. Here's the King James Version. Where no oxen are, excuse me, the crib is clean. That was the King James Version. The English Standard Version says, where no oxen are, the bin is clean. But the crib's clean, the stall, it's clean. If there are oxen in that stall, there's going to be a mess in that stall. Am I telling you anything you don't already know? If there's an ox, if there's a cow in that stall, there's going to be a mess in that stall. But don't we have a beautiful stall? Isn't it so clean? Isn't it so perfect? But that's a good indication. There's no ox in that stall. It'd be like Dennis Martin taking you to his horse barn. He's got a nice one now.
Got a horse, show you those horse stalls. Got them clean? Are they clean, Dennis? Oh, no, you had horses in there, right? If there's horses in that stall, there's going to be a mess in that stall, right? Oh, look at my beautiful stall. How clean it is. How beautiful it is. What's it an indication of? No horses in that stall. No horses in that stall. We're messes. We're messes. Now, let me give you my interpretation of this verse, or my translation. That's a better way to put it. My translation of this verse. Here it is. The mess is worth it. Now, I want you to think about that with me. You can have a beautiful stall, all clean, beautiful trough, all clean, beautiful manger, all clean. It looks nice, but it's an indication. There's no ox in there. That person has no oxen. Now, folks, I'm saying to you, the mess is worth it. I think I can help you understand this. The mess is worth it at home. You say the kids' room is a disaster. And it is. And it is. I mean, if we go to the kids' house, you know, I can hear their mama now. I can hear Crystal. I can hear Angel now. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. The kids' rooms are a disaster. Was it ever like that when they were at home? Yeah. Yeah. But what does that mean? It means your kids played. That's what that means. It means your kids played. Now, was the mess worth it? If your kids plays, you are blessed with a good life. Your kids can play. I mean, Psalms 127, what is it? Verse number 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the womb is reward. Like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Ah, blessed is the man whose quiver's full of them. But the room's dirty. Yeah, what's that an indication of? You got children. You got children. And those children are happy and playing. Is the mess worth it? Was the mess worth it? Well, just let them grow up and get grown and gone and ask us. Was the mess worth it? The mess is worth it. The mess is worth it. Here's my least favorite job. And I don't even wash dishes. I just have to empty the dishwasher occasionally. That's my least favorite job in the world. The dishes are dirty. What a mess. What a mess. And it is. And it is. But the question is the mess worth it? Right? That's the consideration. Is the mess worth it? Because what does it indicate if the dishes are dirty? You ate. Your family ate. They had food on the table. They were blessed with plenty. Is the mess worth it? And you have to say, oh yeah, when you think about it like that, the mess is worth it. The mess is worth it. Oh, here's Beverly's favorite. The laundry's piling up. Because I have a way of getting them dirtier than any man could ever get them. The laundry's piling up. Yeah, it is. Isn't that a mess? That's a mess now. That's a mess. But what's it an indication of? It's an indication we had clothes. I mean, you don't have laundry if you don't have clothes, right? It's an indication your family was clothed and you were blessed with enough. Makes you look at things different, doesn't it? If you slow down and you begin to think like that. Yeah, it's a mess. But the question is the mess worth it? Yeah, yeah. Here's you another one. I just can't keep my hands clean. I don't know why. I can't keep them clean. They're always dirty. Always. But dirty hands are often a sign of hard work, aren't they? Aren't they? Sure. Sure. And they may be dirty from lifting the someone's burdens that are not their own, helping someone else. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Y'all remember that one? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the positive of that. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at it from the negative. What if you are not bearing others' burdens? Are you fulfilling the law of Christ? And the answer is no. No. We fulfill the law of Christ when we bear others' burdens. And dirty hands are often an indication that someone is lifting the burdens of someone else and trying to help them. Sweat is often an indication of progress. With sweat, you'll see progress. Well, is that a mess? That's a mess. But is the mess worth it? See, that's what we have to ask ourselves. Is the mess worth it? And the answer is sure. Sure, when you think about it like that. The progress is worth it. It is. Without the dirty hands, without the sweat, there is no progress. It's not going to happen. That yard's not going to be mowed. It's not going to get mowed unless someone sweats. It's not going to get built unless someone gets their hands dirty. That load's not going to be lifted unless someone dirties their hands. Isn't it a mess? It's a mess. But the question is the mess worth it? And you'd have to say there is. I just threw this last one in there because Beverly can buy me new jeans or whatever and say, no, these are work jeans. It won't be many days until I've ripped them. And many times she'll ask me, said, what happened here? These were brand new. What happened here? Well, I fell. I slipped. I took a dunk in your lake over at Areopagus a few weeks ago. Late in the afternoon, I knew that Bill and Tommy were going to, the next day, try to move some heavy beams 20 feet out across that lake. 20 feet out across that lake. And they needed a chain up on a pole that's standing out in that lake. And so I very wisely crawled in a boat and paddled out there, thinking I'll have it ready for them the next morning. Tied that boat off, began to put that chain up, and I thought to myself, you know, if that was 6 inches higher, it'd be perfect for them. So I stood up in the boat. 6 inches higher, the boat comes loose, and down into that lake I went. 20-foot lake, deep, cell phone in my pocket. I wasn't even going to tell Beverly I fell in the lake, because I knew what she'd say. So I come in that evening and I clean out my pockets and I lay my cell phone up, thinking I'll lay it right there, and after she goes to sleep or goes to work tomorrow, I'll put it in some rice. Someone told me, put it in rice. It'll dry it out. I'll put it in some rice. Maybe it'll dry it out. Maybe it'll start working again. I go out and I do something. I don't know what I was doing. I come back in and Barely says, I charged your cell phone up for you and it made a strange noise. Yeah. You know, torn clothes, drowned cell phones. Hey, that's a mess, isn't it? But you know what? I swam out. No one there but me. I swam out. It was a near miss. It was a near miss. Boy, that's a mess. But I'm still alive. Now, you may think that's a blessing, or you may not. I kind of think that's a blessing. I kind of think that's something to, you know, kind of smile about. You can have it any way you want to. We're messes, aren't we? We're messes. The question is the mess worth it? That's always the question. Here at the church building, if you're like me and you're the one that closes up and turns the lights off, be sure all the air's, adjusted and set off, take care of everything and turn everything off. It is not uncommon for once in a while for someone to, about the time you get halfway home, or about the time you get home and you get your shoes off, for someone to say, could you go open the church building for me? I lost my wallet. That never happened here. Could you go open the church building for us? I left my Bible. Now, that's a mess, isn't it? Have to get up, go back down to the church building to open it up so somebody can get the Bible that they left. Unless you think about it like this. Someone brought their Bible. Was the mess worth it? The mess is worth it. Hey, you could probably find a songbook in here where a kid has scribbled in that songbook. Now, do we say, now that's what every kid ought to do? No. Of course not. But messes happen, don't they? Messes happen. And we have to ask ourselves, was the mess worth it? Because what does that indicate? There was a kid here, right? Do you want to attend a congregation that has no children? Just come down hard on the children then. That's all you have to do. Just see them as a problem. Just see them as an aggravation. Just see them as something that has to be tolerated. Or you can see them as a blessing. Heritage of the Lord. The man, if a mighty man with arrows in his hand is blessed because his quiver's full of children, what about a congregation? Would you really want to be a congregation that had no children? So we have to ask ourselves, don't we? Is the mess worth it? Mess is worth it. The mess is worth it. Now, I want us to remember that in a few weeks when Vacation Bible School's over. And there's the mess, right? I want us to remember the mess is worth it. The mess is worth it. And then I threw this one in for me. Somebody said to me this morning, I may go to sleep. I told him, don't worry about it. I probably will too. Someone slept in the sermon. Boy, isn't that a mess? A lot of the times those persons slept in the sermon, someone who was up all night in prayer. See, do you understand what I'm getting at? The mess is worth it. Okay. You got a clean stall, but you don't have an oxen. And what's more important, the oxen or the clean stall? Well, the oxen, of course. The oxen. But they make a mess. Okay. But is the mess worth it? And the answer is yes, the mess is worth it. And so I want to conclude by just encouraging you to remember some things. Number one, we have a perfection in mind as a standard. We expect ourselves to be perfect. Don't you? You get disappointed in yourself. People get disappointed in you. Guess why? Because you're not perfect. Try as you may. You're not perfect. But we have this standard in mind, and it's a standard of perfection. Well, that's the way this man's supposed to be. That's the way this woman's supposed to be. That's the way this child is supposed to be. That's the way this situation is supposed to be. This is how it should be. But the truth is, life is messy. Yes? Life is messy. It just doesn't always turn out perfect. It's messy. Is the mess worth it? Is the mess worth it? That's what you have to remember. Number two, remember that a good life includes hard work. God set it up that way. God designed it that way. He designed this world in such a way that a man or woman, can only be happy when they have something to work for, to work at, to work through. Do you know when a husband and wife become the closest? When they have to work together to get through something that's difficult. Am I just telling you the truth? That's just a proverb for you folks. I'm telling you the truth. A husband and a wife will get closer in times of stress than at any other time. And they come through it. They come through it. A good life, folks, includes hard work. But work often leaves a mess, doesn't it? It often leaves a mess. The question is then, is the mess worth it? And the answer is always, unequivocally, the mess is always worth it. It's always worth it. And thirdly, I remind you and remind yourself, this life isn't perfect. It just isn't. This life isn't perfect. Have you ever climbed a ladder and dropped the nail? The only nail you had. If you've ever done anything like that, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen. Life isn't perfect, but the next life, and that's the one we're looking toward. That's the one we're looking for. That's the one we're striving for. The next life can be. Look at this passage. I end with it. From the words of our Lord, He said, the thief, He's talking about this land, this life, the thief, the devil. The thief is come to kill, rob, and destroy. But I, Jesus Christ, have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came in a world where there is a thief that is out to kill, rob, and destroy you. And Jesus came so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Is the mess worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. Why? Because this life is not all there. And folks, really, this life is nothing. It's nothing. Listen to Paul, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not even worthy to be compared with the joy or the glory that's going to be revealed in us. We put such emphasis upon the time here. When this life isn't perfect, but the one to come can be. It can be. If we'll recognize our time on this, our time here, this is not it. This is not it. It's over there. It's the next life we're striving for. And it can be perfect. It can. But it begins by following the one who came to give you life right now. Right now. so that you could have life. You can enjoy it right now and more abundantly. And more abundantly. And then the next life. The next life. And it's not worthy to be compared with the things you suffer here. Not even worth it. Don't you want to be a disciple? A follower of the one who didn't come to kill, rob, and destroy? That's who you're serving now. Don't you want to be a disciple of the one who came that you might have life and have it more abundant? A disciple of Jesus Christ. As you do, you're preparing yourself for the life that can be perfect. It can be perfect if you make that kind of decision now. If you're here, you're not a Christian. We're encouraging you to become one. A disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of His. It begins by believing in Him with all your heart. And that's not just a mental assent. Oh, yeah, I believe that He lived. Oh, yeah, I believed He was a great teacher. Oh, yeah, I believe he was a pretty good man. No, you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You believe it. And if you believe it, you'll act like it. You'll live like it. You'll be committed to it. Starts with a heart full of faith. Heart full of faith. And then an attitude of, I'm going to Him. I'm going to Him. I'm going to do what He said. I'm going to do my best to do what He said. That's called repentance, folks. So a heart full of faith, an attitude of repentance, of going to Him, and a disposition of obedience, that whatever He says, I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to try to logic it out. I'm not going to try to reason it away. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. That's what I'm going to do. And that Jesus, who we're encouraging you to be a disciple of, said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now he that doesn't believe will be condemned. So we're encouraging you to be obedient today. Then you'll be living a life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Perfect? No. No. In a perfect world? No. No. But you'll be following the one who, if you continue to follow Him faithfully, the next life will be perfect. Maybe you've begun that walk with Him, but you've decided to turn back for some reason. Whatever that reason is, it's not good enough. It's the wrong decision, I'm telling you that. It's the wrong decision. Maybe you need to rethink that. Maybe you need to decide to come back to Him. And we'll help you with that. So this morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of our Lord in any way, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.